Let's do this. The Cult of Hockey podcast by the faithful and for the faithful. I'm David Staples of the Edmonton Journal. And I'm here this Saturday afternoon, my friend, Bruce McCurdy. Welcome, Bruce.
Hey, David. How are you doing?
Well, that was a pretty darn good game. Wish we'd seen about 20 more like it on the road this year. Well, I guess we've seen quite a bit, or at home, mainly at home, eh? Yeah. Best road game of the year, Bruce. That was an absolutely dominating performance by the Edmonton Oilers. By my count, Bruce, they had seven grade A scoring chances to two for Columbus. Two.
Wow.
That's Columbus had nothing going on in terms mm-hmm. of dangerous attacking, zone time. The Oilers were rarely in trouble. So quite a game. The Oilers won four zilch, of course. Koskinen with the shutout, and the goal scorers were Cassian, Curry, Dreisaitl, and Chiasson. So, Bruce, yesterday the Vegas odds makers still gave the Oilers a chance to win the Stanley Cup.
Oh, yeah.
So here we are. Here we go.
500 to 1?
Well, I'm not exactly sure how odds work. I think it was like 160 to 1.
Well, it's practically 161 to make the playoffs, so win the cup.
Wow, so they had it. I don't know why they. I don't know. It was.
They just want to take free money from people that will
still place that bet
on the long shot, no matter what.
Yeah, who's going to make that bet though? I mean, anyway. I don't exactly know how it all works. Anyway, Bruce, this is the two good things, two bad things, two numbers podcast. What was your good thing?
Yeah, today it should be the 20 good things, zero bad things.
Yeah.
And whatever. Yeah. But my good thing, I got to go with that second Edmonton goal, my favorite goal of the season. Josh Curry from Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid, three of my favorite players. And it was just pure domination by Edmonton for almost 2 minutes straight. You know, the Nugent Hopkins line were grinding it deep in Columbus territory. The Blue Jackets got the puck out over their own blue line by about a foot. And Nuge came along, stripped the puck off the guy, turned it back into the zone. The Oilers made the line change on the fly. And for the next, I think it was 92 seconds, Edmonton must have had about 40 touches of the puck to zero by Columbus, except the goalie, I think, might have had one or two. They were just all over him, cycling and circling in the zone. Adam Larson was everywhere. Draisaitl and McDavid were everywhere. Klefbom,
Cassian,
he went hard to the net front, and they just kept battling. You know, like Larson went to the net front on one play, and it looked like the goalie was going to freeze it, but because Larson crashed the crease, the puck came loose and they kept possession. Then it came back to the point. Klefbom blasted one. It hit Cassian. It felled Cassian. And Zach was clearly in pain, and he got up and staggered to the bench. And on his way to the bench, the puck came right to him, and he made a good play, and off he went. And out came Josh Curry on the cycle, and the Oilers just kept it coming. And for whatever reason, the defensive team seems to get a lot more tired in those kind of situations than the attacking team does, because the Oilers just kept coming in waves. And finally, McDavid circled the net, found Leon in the slot, and Leon just, I don't know how he saw Curry, but he fired a perfect shot pass that Curry just chipped home from the edge of the crease. And that was as good as you can play hockey, David. I don't know what they could have done better for that sequence. They were just completely dominating in the zone, possession of the puck, skating, moving, making their passes, playing physical, everything.
Yeah, I kept waiting for that moment when, you know, there would be some kind of weak kind of outside shot or something that would end the momentum on that. And, mm-hmm. you know, but it just kept getting better and better and yeah. culminated, of course, with Curry, who's become an instant fan favorite, kind of hometown. Like he's like the new Curtis Glenn Cross here coming in late in the year and winning over fans. We haven't seen this since Glenn X, I don't think. Of course, we'll hear the not sustainable cries will soon be ringing out across the land. But nonetheless, let's enjoy it for what it is. He shows a lot of moxie and a lot of smarts. And, man, he's making a claim right now for a job. So, Bruce, that shift highlighted my good thing of the night, which was Leon Draisaitl.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've answered the question, can Leon Draisaitl drive a line? Yeah, he's driving the line with Connor McDavid on it.
Today he was, yeah.
Yeah, one of my friends on Twitter said that, and it's exactly true right now. The Oilers had seven, I think it's seven grade A scoring chances, and Draisaitl was made a major contribution to five of them. He was the trigger man, the shooter on three of them. Dominating game by Draisaitl. He is just playing fantastic hockey, obviously. It's great to see. And you and I have been long time supporters, big fans of this player. And it's nice to see that he's become everything in terms of an attacker that we had hoped he would be. He's absolutely dominant right now.
Well, for a guy that seems to get as many knocks as he does for being slow, did you see that penalty kill shift? Yeah. They won the draw, and Leon just jumped on the puck, and he was gone. Like, he started from the faceoff circle, and the defenseman, Werenski, was the main guy he beat, but he just blew past the entire Columbus team and tried the same move on Bobrovsky that he scored on in a recent game, shorthanded goal, but Bobrovsky had the answer that time. But Leon was just flying out there. He really had his skating legs, and he had the supporting thing. I noticed in the broadcast they had McDavid first star, Leon second, Koskinen third. In the rink, they got it right. Leon number one, Connor number two, Mikko number three. And that means an easy selection of which three guys to pick. Well, you know what? A lot of Oilers had good games today.
Your bad thing, Bruce.
Well, they're hard to find. So I'm going to go a little bit off the today's game thing and say the bad thing is that it wasn't until game number 58-59 that the Oilers had their full six-man defense unit. And because they were so far off the board, they've gone 4-1-2 in the seven games since Sekera came back. They've used the same six defensemen in every game. Sekera and Benning have gelled immediately as an excellent third pairing. And the top four, you know, they've had a couple of tough shifts for sure, but I think as a six pack, they're a pretty decent set, and they have been, you know, for 3 years when they've been healthy. But
well, they're no longer getting killed on the bottom pairing, Bruce. Yes. Like the top four haven't been better in these games. Right. But they're not getting slaughtered on the bottom pairing, which is what happens when you have Manning and Petrovic out there. That's what was going on, and they were getting slaughtered, and even to some extent Gravel, although Gravel was better than the others. And Matt Benning, who started out terrible this year, for the last two or three months has played solid third pairing defense. So that's the difference. Sekera has made a huge difference. Bruce, my bad thing actually is what I noticed. Like, a lot of the goals came off goals against came off bad passes, errant passes, and the Oilers made a few themselves. And the NHL right now is such a premium on D-men who can really move that puck. And on the first goal, like my other good thing, I'm going to slip another good thing in here. Russell's just his little quick pass to Draisaitl in the neutral zone to kick off the first goal, hit him right on the stick as he was breaking. And he didn't double back like he sometimes does. He had his head up, his eyes up, and he hit him right on the stick to a breaking player. And Draisaitl powered in there and put a cross seam to Cassian, who scored a very nice goal. So the bad thing was Nurse, though, a couple times. He was struggling with the puck, and he's got to get better at it. He's got to get, I don't know how many games he's into his NHL career, so I don't know if him getting better is in the cards, substantially better. But I just think part of it is reading the game better, having his eyes up more, thinking more, concentrating more, maybe watching more game tape, doing it at whatever it takes. Just so he's that much better at head manning the puck. And that's what I want to hope to see from Darnell Nurse. And I thought there was a few plays today where he got his team in trouble with some bad passes. So that was my bad thing. Your number? Oh, go ahead.
He made one go away with an instant Paul Schmier-esque instant recovery to make the hero play right after the bad giveaway. And he also made an absolutely tremendous play to break up it looked like a breakaway in the first period when he came back and he lifted the guy's stick and and in such a manner that he didn't take any kind of penalty and didn't deserve a penalty.
He had some good moments. Paul Schmier. No one hit like Paul Schmier, man. Did he rock people? He just rocked them. And he wasn't a big guy either. Mm-hmm. He was like 170. Of course, in those days, that was not small. Bruce, what's your number?
My number is 40. And that's in Leon Draisaitl, who got his 40th assist today in the first period. And then his 41st assist. And then his 40th goal in the second period. Now here he is at 40-40 with still over 20% of the season to go. So he's on pace nicely for a 50-50, 100-point season. I mean, 40 goals. I showed it on the graphic at the end of the game. Last year, McDavid was the first Oiler since Peter Klima in 1990-91 to score 40 in a season. And now Leon is there, and he's, for all that he was trailing McDavid in goals for most of this year, he's ahead of him now by 7. And he's really emerged as a finisher. And, I mean, you could see that on the goal that he scored today, where, first of all, he made the defensive play to steal the puck. He fed McDavid, and then he just got in perfect position to unleash a one-timer of him that has become lethal. And Sergei Bobrovsky, one of the top goalies in hockey, had no chance. Puck was by him before he could reset and get over there.
So my number is Draisaitl related as well. It's the number is 7th overall in league scoring. Now Draisaitl has 81 points, mm-hmm. moved ahead of Braden Point today. Nice. And he's just behind Nathan MacKinnon, Johnny Gaudreau, and Mikko Rantanen, who all have 82 points.
Wow.
So Draisaitl, you know, he's probably been one of the hottest scorers. I think Kucherov's been hotter.
Yeah.
But other than Kucherov, he's been the hottest scorer. Now, when you're hot, can you keep it up? That's hard to do. But he's been doing it for at least a month here. And if he can keep it up for the rest of the season, he's going to move into the top three. He's still 6 or 7 points behind McDavid. But that's pretty darn good. Glad we didn't trade Leon Draisaitl, Bruce.
Yeah, I didn't want to.
No, neither did I. And, you know, to give his critics their due, he does look – we have chastised him heavily for being lazy at times this year. And his coach singled him out for being – he didn't name him, but he was being singled out, as we're now told by reporters, and Hitchcock has alluded to, I also believe, you know, for criticism. But Draisaitl, he's been on fire. Whatever it is, it worked, and he has been going strong. I'll have to look. I'm going to have to – I don't know if Spec wrote a column on this recently, and I don't know if he totaled up the points since Hitchcock's tirade for Draisaitl. But I do think that he has been on a tear since then. So maybe Draisaitl is one of those guys who needs a kick in the butt.
Well, that could well be so. He has his games. I mean, last game in Ottawa, I said in the game report that his fast twitch fibers weren't firing. You know, like a lot of big guys, there are games where he just looks sluggish and slow. But even in that game, like there were some defensive situations where he busted his ass on the back check when Edmonton was defending the lead in the third period especially. But, you know, he's not perfect, and I'm not sure there is anybody around the league that's perfect, but he's constantly producing, and in the second year of his highly controversial $8.5 million contract, I'd make the case that he's already covering the bet in year two.
And he's more than covering the bet.
And he's still 23 years old and getting better, and the cap is going up, so the percentage of cap is going down in terms of what his contract will be. That's starting to already look like it's going to be full value and then some, like that.
Come on, let's say he was going into his contract negotiation this summer.
If they'd abridged him 2 years ago, he'd be looking at probably 10 to 11.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're getting pretty good value on that deal. Pretty good value on that deal, which could mean in the end, that both, I mean, McDavid could have got, I think, the full $15 million. So he took a $2.5 million haircut. And if Draisaitl, let's say he continues to be a top 10 scorer throughout this contract, which is, you know, it's awfully optimistic for me to say that. But if he does do what he's doing this year, and he's in the meat year, prime of his career, I mean, he's going to be $2 million or $3 million under his value too. So that gives, you know, it makes up for a little bit of problems the Oilers are going to have otherwise with the cap. Although if Sekera returns, Bruce, and keeps playing like he's playing, suddenly the huge one of the, you know, one of the two major cap headaches, him and Lucic, one of them goes away. And the Oilers really just have the one player who's grossly overpaid. So suddenly things, in terms of value for the players on your roster, it's not looking as terrible.
Right.
Anyway, well, Bruce, I got to head out here. I got to go to a hockey practice. So
yeah, well, one last
closing thought.
Draisaitl's contract is 68% that of McDavid's, right? 68 million versus 100 million. And at 81 points to 90, he's currently running at 90% the production rate.
When it comes to scoring chances plus minus, grading scoring chances plus minus, which you and I track,
mm-hmm.
they're almost even
yeah.
right now. And so performance-wise, Leon Draisaitl has come close this year in terms of grade A scoring chances for and against at even strength to performing at McDavid's level. So that's not bad at all. Bruce, let's leave it there. Thanks for talking.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
And in the meantime and in between times, this has been another edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast.